Welcome to the Crozier Vision podcast. It's Monday, 6th of June, 2011, and I'm joined today by Brian Micklethwaite, who blogs at brianmicklethwaite.com, samizdata.net, transportblog.com, and perhaps a few others I'm not quite sure.
I think
sure.
That's just about it, actually.
That's about it.
I used to do more, but that's it.
That'll do. I think that'll do. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about the Indian Premier League, or IPL as it's otherwise known. I always just start off by explaining to the uninitiated what the IPL is.
Well, it's cricket. That's the first thing to be said. So pause while a certain type of human being switches off. And then, but it's very quick, isn't it? I mean, you've like me, you've been watching it recently on the television. It was televised, I should explain, on ITV. What was it? One of these.
I think we should point out it's cricket. It's played in India.
Yeah.
It's between Indian city teams. It's on the 2020 format, which means you have 20 overs per side,
yeah.
And so it's all over in an evening. It's often played, or perhaps an afternoon sometimes, and it's usually often played under floodlights.
In bright red and yellow and orange pyjamas, all sorts
yes,
of different colours,
yes.
Not the traditional white stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's accompanied by pop music rather than by polite clapping. People are shouting and yelling in India, they certainly are. And they're behind, they're often in cages as they are at football matches. And also present either pretending to enjoy themselves or, just as interesting, actually enjoying themselves, are female Hollywood, Bollywood actresses.
And Hollywood. Elizabeth Hurley was there supporting Shane.
That's because she got entangled with Shane Warne. How long that will last, who knows. But it's the Bollywood actresses, these state-of-the-art Indian queens or princesses, I suppose, depending on their age, who either... I can't help suspecting they're pretending, because deep down I suspect they don't care about it that much. But on the other hand, they probably do, because they've been raised in a cricket-mad country. And, you know, my mum was a cricket fan, because her dad played a lot of cricket. Why shouldn't all these girls also be excited? And it says something about the IPL. It's sexy. That's the thing. You get the feeling that all the alpha males of the cricket world are locking antlers. And all the alpha females of India.
I think that's the second point we have to make. It's not just Indian players. It's players from all around the world.
Each Indian team, there are about eight of them, I think, aren't they? From Bangalore, Chennai.
I think there are 10 now.
Is it 10 now? Yeah. Yes. And they're each allowed to have 4 overseas players in any one team, I think it is.
Is that right? Yes.
Any one playing team, any one starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously have more... It's not obvious, but they have more overseas players than that in their squads.
Yeah.
And the overseas players are they compete for those 4 mm-hmm. spots quite fiercely with each other. And quite a lot of overseas people go there on a much coveted IPL contract because the money's terrific. And they never actually play, or if they play, they play once. I mean, Michael Lum, who plays for Hampshire, one of the few Englishmen involved in this shindig mm-hmm. this time round, was out second ball. In one innings, that was it. That's all he did.
We should point out that the reason why the English players are not there is not just because they're not very good.
No, they're actually being missed.
They're being missed.
Because they do need a few more. Now that they've gone up to 10 teams, there's quite a bit of talk about how the overseas players, they're starting to lose out on a bit of star value. Sort of rather run-of-the-mill Australians are being seen.
You mean to say the English were in the previous tournament? I've only really watched this one, this 2011. Let's point out, it's only been going, since 2008?
Eight, 2009? I think so. I think this is the fourth,
I think it's the fourth as well.
Yeah, the problem is the English authorities didn't realise what a big deal it was going to be.
I mean, so that means it is a big deal then?
I think it is. I think it's an enormous deal, and it's money. That's the reason. And the reason for the money is that the centre of gravity of cricket as a sport in the whole world is India. It's not because of the Indian players, although they are now getting very good, they have been good for some time. The Indian team hasn't been as good as the Indian players, really, but India has very good players, but Australia's been the best team until recently. No, the heart of it is the Indian cricket public, which is, compared to anything else anywhere in the rest of the world, absolutely enormous, and that's where the money comes from. Mm-hmm. And you know, a player who gets an IPL contract.
And the point out is, if you have a country of a billion people, even if they're not particularly rich, that's a lot of money.
Yes, and they're getting, and of course, famously, India is now getting rich. Mm-hmm. They're starting. Mm-hmm. Now, that's one of the things you see on the TV, isn't it? Lots of middle class Indians.
Oh, this is something that I find absolutely magnificent. I mean, all the news I've ever heard, everything I've heard from about India from, well, since I was born, has been bad. And now I watch this thing, and it's. It's advertising, and it's people who are middle class, and they're speaking English, and they're being frivolous. That's what I like about it. It's frivolous.
They're having fun.
They're having fun. Yes, exactly.
Yes, I mean, the previous cliche about India, the first one was the starving millions.
Mm-hmm.
The next one that I can remember was the over-educated Indian who could only get a job as a government bureaucrat, stifling what little there was of the Indian economy. But mm-hmm. now this. Yeah. And journalists in India complain a bit that it's a bit of a cliche. No, there's more to India than the IPL. There's lots of starvation in rural areas. Not everybody has a TV set, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I agree. It's not the whole story of India. But my God, it's a better picture of India than we've been getting until recently.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Which is
it really cheers you up to watch it. I agree.
Yes.
And they're very welcoming people. I think it's good not just the Indians are having fun. But the whole IPL on TV exudes an air of generosity and welcomingness. There is genuine camaraderie between the players. I mean, to see...
Yes.
I'm old enough to
Oh,
be...
Did you?
I'm old enough to be quite struck by a white South African embracing a not particularly white Indian. You know, I mean, all right, now that's commonplace. It just doesn't even need saying anymore. But
yes.
I can remember when white South Africa was kept right out of cricket. For apartheid mm-hmm. and all that.
Yes.
And this is just the opposite. I mean, I watched, I remember thinking, if I was a communist propagandist trying to fake a great-looking country, this is what my fake propaganda would look like. But, of course, this is the real thing.
Do you think it's the real thing? I get the impression there is a certain amount of Potemkinness about this.
Yes. You're right, there is, yes. Yes, and the cameras are always looking around for sort of glamorous looking young, especially women and girls. And whenever the girls see themselves on the TV, they get all excited, and the camera stays with them if they are considered pretty enough or interesting enough.
Yes, and smart enough. Yes,
yes.
What I find interesting,
you're right. There is, but even the Potemkinness of it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine lots of Indians going, oh, bollocks, you know. You don't have the fat blokes on, do you? You know.
Oh, well, they do.
Yes, well,
the only fat blokes
are...
The important rich ones.
Looking unspeakably boring. You can see why they don't want to keep them on, because they're so dull. They're fat blokes just sitting there. I wish we had TV. I could demonstrate men.
Well, I find this fascinating. This owner's settee.
Yes, the settee. The settee, yes. Yes, with some very nondescript, rather fat teenager sitting on it. Who is he? What is his role in this? Is he the nephew of the owner? Is he the brother of the captain? What is he?
It's not explained.
Oh, dear. Yes. We're getting ahead of it. One question I have for you, which is this the first time you've become interested in cricket?
No, the last time I was interested in cricket was the 1981 Ashes.
1981?
Yes.
So that's quite a time ago.
We're talking about the Botham Ashes and all that.
Because that was also on telly, wasn't it?
It was on telly. Lots of other cricket's been on telly.
Hmm.
But then England got bad. And I really can't bear to see my side losing. Hmm. I'm not a good loser in that respect. Hmm. And it's just one of the things about the IPL is all of a sudden you have the slate is wiped clean. You can choose any of these teams because none of them has any meaning to you whatsoever.
Well, I agree with that. And I think one of the weaknesses of the IPL, which they will have to... I think they'll try and sort this. At the moment, the teams have an air of artificiality about them, not just because the tournament's only just started and these teams didn't exist mm-hmm. until this came mm-hmm. along, but also because every year there's a kind of churning of all the players. I don't quite know how the auction works in detail,
no.
But what it means is that if you want to keep your players, you have to be very determined to keep them. Mm. And if you aren't determined to keep them, you tend not to. And I think there's something wrong with a sports team where the people in it don't want to play for it and didn't, you know, wheedle their way into the team and all that. I mean, I don't like the draft that they have in America, and I don't like the auction, the American
but
football.
But we can hardly say that American sports don't work.
Oh, no, but well, they don't work. But
and they have the strikes every so
for
often.
For me,
but
they don't work because of that.
For most of us, they don't work because we don't understand the sports. It's not part of the cultural thinginess. And it's
it's hardly reasonable for somebody who adores cricket to say that American football doesn't work. If any Americans are listening, they'd be throwing up all over their jumpers by now. Yes.
Well, baseball is the obvious comparison.
But the thing I like, what I like about, to take another sport I'm not so obsessed with, that's soccer. I love the fact that when a soccer team defeats a big Premier League team in the FA Cup or something like it, it really has beaten it. There's a sense of the little guy triumphed. Because there's no salary cap holding back the winning.
If you're in the effectively the second division of British football, then you are much worse than say Manchester United.
But such are the rules of soccer that you can have a lucky day and beat one of these big clubs.
Yeah.
Because scoring a goal is so difficult.
I mean, it's not quite the same in the IPL. The gap between who's the worst team, Pune, and the best team, Chennai, is not that great. And Pune, they may even have beaten Chennai for
Well, what they always say about 2020 is on the day any team can win, any team can lose, and it's true.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you was, though, if you recently got excited about the IPL, does it cause you to be interested in other cricket? Like, for example, there's a test match going on right now. We were watching it earlier.
It certainly made me a bit more interested. The problem is, of course, is that the difference between the current test series in Sri Lanka and IPL is IPL is on free-to-air television, or free for me, and the test series isn't. This probably says something about its their relative popularities, because if IPL was more popular, then it would be on subscription.
Well, the big story is who buys it in India. I suppose that's the big money decision. I don't know how it's done in India, but a lot of money changes hands, clearly. And I don't know why. I think it's something to do with the fact that it goes on too long for Sky TV. I think they couldn't fit it into their schedules, given that they bought up all the rest of cricket and they got all these other things going on. Because ITV4 got it last year at the last minute, didn't they? It was rather strange.
Is that right?
Yeah, I remember the Radio Times didn't have any mention of it. And then suddenly, boom, we've signed it and it's happening, you know, and the Saint and the professionals and the Sweeney all had to be shoved aside. Well, they won't be missed, you know, they can wait. But if you're Sky TV and you've got the Open Golf Championship, it's a bit hard to fit it in.
Maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe it's going to end up on Sky sometime.
Well, I've always thought that any sport that wants to promote itself ought to televise everything that isn't fussy about money. I mean, well, you could have internet or TV of any game that's sort of just below the level where the big money changes hands. And you could watch it free. That's, after all, what the IPL sort of is. Yes. One of the reasons the British Premier, the English, I should say, Soccer Premier League is so popular around the world is presumably because they kind of give it away for bargain basement prices to things like ITV4. In other countries,
well, the
not here.
Yes,
I mean, I believe there's never been a Premier League game of soccer live on free-to-view TV in Britain since.
Not since the Premier League came into existence, I don't think. I'm trying to think. Well, of course, there was the Arsenal Liverpool, that famous game in 1989 when Arsenal won. But that wasn't Premier League, of course. That was. This is when Arsenal
I remember,
won 2-0
in
Liverpool and won 2-0 in Liverpool.
Oh, yes. It was in that movie with Colin Firth playing the mad school teacher, the one who got all depressed and his girlfriend thought he'd lost his job or something, or he'd failed to get another job. And he just said, "What? No, it was Arsenal losing. Don't be so stupid. Do you think I care about a poxy job?" That was so funny. But I digress.
Yes.
So you do find yourself interested in other cricket. Now, you see, I think this effect would be greatly intensified if English county cricketers, the best of them, went off to India for the first month or two of the year in England and then came back and played county cricket.
Or maybe we could have IPL cricket come here. I mean, who is interested in county cricket?
Well, I am, but only in a sort of keeping an eye on it sort of way. I am interested because I've got fixated on it. I date from the very last moment when large numbers of people cared about county cricket. My county, Surrey, had a golden run of seasons. This is 1,000 years ago now. Well, the 1950s. Laker and Locke used to bowl for... You're looking at me with a plaintive expression.
Jim Laker.
Might as well have said Hengist and Walsall for all the good it did. And you know who they are. But that was the last time, believe it or not, just after the war, when Compton and Edrich, those people you've never heard of also, were playing, and Hutton, that era, thousands of people watched it, more than would watch anything but a Premier League soccer match now.
I have a suspicion that cricket was bigger than football in those days.
I think so. It certainly was the equal. I do remember the sort of gut-wrenching moment when I realised that sports coverage... there was a moment when football just won and cricket lost, and it was and the county cricket sort of just swept into some little backwater, and suddenly it was all what was happening. Even on days when there was no football going on, they would invent. It's been going on ever since. They would invent some sort of story about somebody losing their job or, you know, not having an injury or something, and that would count for more than Surrey v Yorkshire.
Why was that?
Just people got fed up with watching county cricket. It went on too long. It was too dull. The rain was too dispiriting. They had jobs.
But all of these things would have been true in the 1860s as well as the 1960s.
Well, I don't know. I don't understand where all these enormous crowds of people in cloth caps all standing literally for hour upon hour watching. I don't know where they came from or what they were thinking.
Oh, they used to stand at these.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, there are amazing photographs of pictures of people who just won the war watching county cricket like it was, I don't know, a religious ceremony or something. And they all knew all about it. And I think the last days of that were about 1950. And then there was a sort of steep decline until 1960.
Television.
Sounds like, yes.
Or
yes.
The automobile, maybe.
Mm.
Those are big changes in the 50s. Mm. Why?
I think television.
Oh, well, it's because county television, county cricket on television. Nah, it's just that's the point. 2020 is televisual.
Well, the IPL, there's never been cricket so completely shaped for television as the IPL.
No,
the whole thing is organised around TV, and they have advert breaks that last 33 seconds.
Oh, the advertising!
And the umpires, I'm certain of this. The umpires are keyed in, and they get told, we haven't finished the adverts. Hold it for 10 more seconds, you know, things like that.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure they are.
The umpires are like sort of studio bosses, you know. In addition to deciding whether people are out, they're the ones who say, sorry, people are still watching adverts for Snibbo. Don't bowl the first ball of the next over yet.
Yes, I mean, that's another thing that I really like about IPL is the advertising. It's just this shit... This, colossal amount of commercialism. I mean, they can find anything. They will.
Yes, the Citibank moment of success.
What is that?
Well, I don't know.
A Carbon Kamal catch.
Yes, it's a catch. That's what a catch.
No, there's some are catches and some are Carbon Kamal catches.
A slightly good catch.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
There's
this Indian geek with a funny name. I can't really. That's a Citibank moment of success. Sorry.
Harsha Bogli, is it?
No, it's not him. Yeah. He's posher. There's this other bloke who really is a geek. He looks like one of those over-educated people who would have become an Indian civil servant 25 years ago. Now he's a cricket geek, and that's a great improvement. Very good. But, yes, all that. But the significance of your answer, that you're more interested in cricket generally as a result of watching the IPL... is enormous, because there's two futures for cricket that people could see when 2020 came along. One was it continues to be a sort of General Motors sport with a range of products, from the kind of Rolls Royce, the 5-day test match cricket, right down to the runabout Model T 2020 slam bang tournaments. But the other model was rugby union, rugby league, you know.
Or two entirely different sports.
Totally different sports. And people were beginning to think, are they going completely separate ways?
I mean, isn't this whole deal about England having captains for each of the three
Yep.
Sorts of teams.
Well, that's partly because they're playing so much cricket that one captain's head would explode if he had to be obsessed with all three. I mean, you know, if you've just played the... this happened to Andrew Strauss recently. They just played the Ashes. Now, the only way to play the Ashes is to forget everything else and play the Ashes. If you then, immediately after the Ashes are finished, have to play some more games, it is almost impossible to wind yourself up and get excited.
Let me think about it. Because England had a very good one-day record. And the one-day started after the Ashes finished. They were okay for the first two games, and then they just collapsed.
What happened was the Ashes finished with India... England... This was last Christmas in Australia. England won them more solidly than they'd ever won the Ashes in my lifetime, I can think of. There hasn't been a more complete Ashes victory for a long, long time. Three innings defeats. So England were absolutely the better team.
Mm-hmm.
But then they immediately played a string of one-day games and they lost the first six. Mm-hmm. I think they won one or something like that. Or they lost six out of seven. And the explanation was they were simply drained. You know. One way to deal with that is to have a different captain. You know, just something different. It just jazzes things up. Gives him, this is his big moment, the captain. So for him, at least, he takes it 100% seriously. And from that, you get a different atmosphere and a renewed effort.
Yeah.
But I think that was the experience that caused them to have three different captains.
I mean, in answer to your question, it seems to me that we sort of established where it's going to go. I mean, the money is going to is also television. Really, 2020 is the only version of cricket.
Well, Test match cricket. Sky pay. Well, I mean, the reason it's gone to Sky is because they will pay a lot of money for it.
Yes.
So,
yes,
I mean, you know. So people like me, I loved it when proper top class Test match cricket, you know, the best Test match cricket was on regular TV. I have this sort of belief that if I buy a Sky Sports subscription, that's like saying I am now about to die. I refuse to do it. I think it's to me that would be like an admission of absolute worthlessness. That there's nothing else for me to do with my life but watch television.
Or
bad
cricket.
Enough, and it's bad enough as it is, you know, without me. So I watch the highlights on Channel 5 or whatever it is. But I think cricket will hold together. That's the point. And if you think about it, it's very interesting. There's no other major sport in the world that has had such turmoil going on in the matter of the rules. I mean, can you think of another game?
I thought there was a lot less trouble with the rules in cricket than, say, rugby union.
I mean things like the organisation of the whole shape of the game. I mean, tennis. When was the last time... When did they first have the idea of having games that went 15, 30, 40 done and six of them to make a set?
Goes back to the days of royal tennis. Probably.
But, I mean, it's like they had decided to have sets with 20 games in them and they'd all be over... I mean, when did golf... Why don't golfers say... God's sake, we can't hang around for 4 days deciding who's won. Why can't we just have a tournament lasting one day? Who says you can't do that? Well, the thing is, they've been all right without it. Cricket has had to fight to reconnect itself to modern life. And it has done so. And I don't know any other sport that has turned the shape of its games upside down so completely.
Maybe it was just simply because it took so long for them to realise they were becoming irrelevant.
They eventually...
One of my theories in the world is that next to governments, sports governing bodies are the most incompetent organisations on the planet.
Well, they are political, aren't they?
Because
there's a sort of... You can't just set up your own in competition. And that's the same thing as applies to government.
Well, unless you go do something like what the rugby league people did.
Yes, but then you get another country. It's just that's more like, you know, Slovakia and the Czech Republic going their separate ways. It's not really free enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get the benefits of free enterprise. Well, the nearest thing to it is something like an IPL, where the entrepreneurial genius behind it, who I think has now been sacked for tax reasons or something, bit of a crook or something, I don't know what whatever the Indians reckon to be a crook, he's guilty of it, and they got rid of him, but the guy who set it up, Lalit Modi, he doesn't decide about who's out LBW or what the LBW rule is. He leaves that entirely to the cricket people. But he's very big on the on what we were saying about the TV gaps and all that stuff, yeah. And the colour of the kit and the size of the teams and all the rules and the talent. He does everything except umpire the actual games. So I suppose there is quite a bit of entrepreneurial activity in that sense. And because cricket is changing so much, more so in cricket, arguably, than in other sports. I mean, the importance of people like... who was that? Kerry Packer. Who started one-day cricket, in effect.
Mm-hmm. That was television as well, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. He's a TV man. He's not a sportsman. Well, he's a newspaper man, I think, wasn't he? Yeah. But I enjoyed the IPL, but...
But
I have some a few quibbles. Too many games were settled before they were finished, either because the team batting second were clearly not going to get the runs, or because the team batting second clearly were going to get the runs. And unfortunately, the final was like that.
Isn't that true of a lot of sports?
Yes.
I mean, you know, tennis games or a lot of football games are a bit one-sided. Manu are up 3-0 against Tottenham by half-time, and the second half is not going to be interesting.
Well, there was a good game between Spurs and Arsenal where that rule didn't apply. Arsenal yes, were 3-0 up at half-time or something. I think it was 4-all or something.
Well, like I mean, I've seen a few games. I mean, I'm with Chennai. I mean, I'm a Chennai supporter. Where... a victory looked impossible, and then you go away for 20 minutes, you come back, and my goodness, they've turned it around.
No, it's not inherent in 2020 that you can't have these turnarounds. It's just that they didn't happen to happen very often this time round, that's all.
I mean, is it any worse than Test match cricket?
Well, oddly enough, somebody made the point on the radio today that games involving England in recent years have tended to have interesting finishes. You know, they're not. They don't tend to dribble out in draws. I mean, there was that amazing game in Cardiff. While the IPL final was going on, I was busy thinking of a blog posting saying, "Look at this excitement in the IPL, and look at this utter tedium in Cardiff, where it's pissing with rain, and it's obviously going to be a draw." What happens? The IPL final dribbles away into one of these horribly one-sided games where you know what the result's going to be. 10 overs before it finishes, which is like an hour, and all you can do is just sort of hang around and wave flags, or if you're at home, pretty much ignore it. And what happens in the test match, just when everyone assumes it's all going to be utterly boring, suddenly England declare their first innings with a tiny first innings lead and proceed to bowl out Sri Lanka for next to nothing and win the game by an innings.
Yes, and how many people were watching
in the ground? I believe it rose to about 900. In the morning, the number of people present was about a dozen.
which is less than almost any crowd you'd get in the Football League.
Well, it is Cardiff, where they're not used to having cricket matches like this at all. But it was what was so sensational about it, and what was so funny about it, and ridiculous about it, was the fact that 4 days of the reason why people are fed up to the back teeth with Test match cricket, unless it's a really good Ashes series or India v Australia or the West Indies in their pomp, but one of the really good sides knocking seven bells out of each other. This was everything you don't want in Test match cricket. It was a rather weak touring team. The weather was pissing. England weren't quite doing very well. And it was just, it had draw absolutely written all over it in 10-foot high letters.
And then all of a sudden...
And suddenly, Sri Lanka...
But that doesn't happen very often.
Well...
And, I mean, there were some pretty exciting finishes in the IPL. I mean, that... We were talking a bit too early before we started about Ryudu's six off the last ball when it was Kolkata against...
Well, that was the Chennai game, wasn't it?
It was Kolkata against Mumbai. And the significance of that six was not for Mumbai, who won the game as a result. It was for Chennai, who went from... third in the table to second in the table, which meant they have a much easier route into the final. And rather than playing a day before the final, they were playing about 4 days before the final. So they had a lot more rest, and that was one of the reasons the final.
I see. Chennai would have been third if Raiulu had missed that ball completely.
I think I'm right in saying that. Yes.
But then Mumbai would have lost that game, and whoever they were playing against would have been second or first or something.
Yes, Kolkata.
Yes. I can never remember the teams because what I remember with particular pleasure about the IPL is individual players rather than teams. I remember. Well, Raiulu 6 is a good example. I remember Chris Gayle, as does everybody.
Yes.
I remember Chris Gayle getting out for a duck in the final and everyone in the whole of India going, oh dear, what a nuisance. There goes the final. Because, frankly, the score knocked up by whoever was the opposite side, and it
Chennai.
Says a great deal about the IPL that I don't remember immediately.
The score was 205, by the way.
I remember it was a hell of a big score. And there was some good hitting by the openers, two rather kind of run-of-the-mill players who hadn't done that well in the previous part of the tournament.
Morelli Vijay had a nightmare the whole tournament. Then come to the final, he scored, I think, 70 or something. So,
yeah,
well done him.
But the point was, it was a huge score, and everybody in the whole cricket world knew that if Chris Gayle got into his stride, he could turn that into a fantastic contest. And if he got out early, well, that was it.
Yes. You may have noticed that the Chennai celebrations when they got Gayle out were much greater than when they actually won the game.
Well, of course, because that was when they won.
Yes, exactly.
That's the moment they won.
Yes.
And everybody in cricket knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very sad. It really was, because he'd scored a century in the he'd scored 89 or 90 or something in the previous game, the day before. It was very sad.
Well, so did Bradman getting out for a duck in his last game. So you know, these things happen. It is a competition.
Yes,
they are trying to win.
Well, quite. But it would have been nice if it had been closer. If the fun had gone on a bit, is all I'm saying, because it was very dispiriting. I mean, they were out for 130 or something, 140 was it? I don't know. It was a bit of slow.
I think they actually got through to the
last ball of the IPL got hit for six. It didn't mean a damn thing, but it got hit for six. Rather poignant. But if only it had been as good a game as the one you were talking about, when Mumbai looked absolutely beaten.
I mean, lots of finals. In World Cup finals are often really rubbish. FA Cup finals are often...
Yeah, but I don't care about soccer. I know the final's going to be about as exciting as paint drying. I know that, having watched a few.
Well, presumably some of the Ashes series were pretty dull, especially when Australia were 5-0 or whatever.
Yes. I can remember Ashes series in the 1960s where... At the end of day one, England would be 221 for three. John Edrich having scored 100, not out. Boycott having made 45. And a few other people having bored everyone to death and got out. And it would be a draw, the game.
You know straight away.
One of the best things about this limited overs cricket is that it's changed the kind of people who play cricket.
Yeah?
Yes. I mean, you cannot be a serious professional cricketer if you can't hit sixes. If you're a batsman, you've got to be able to clout the cover off the ball.
About bloody time, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I can admire a really good force.
And it's very interesting. There are test matches where there's two ways to save the game. One is to bat everybody, you know, to block.
Mm-hmm.
The other is to score lots of runs and get too far ahead where the other team can't catch you. And interestingly, the second is becoming more common. The great Oval Test match in 2005, Kevin Peterson saved the match by hitting the cover off it. He scored 150 in no time at all by slogging the Australian bowlers all over the place. He wouldn't. A generation earlier, they would have just blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
that is a good thing. I cannot think of any downside to that at all.
I can't either. Yes. What else?
I was going to say something. In his very last game of cricket he ever played, Shane Warne was mic'd up. And he was being asked about IPL, and he was saying more or less positive things. He said that one of the great things was they were playing with people on the same on the same side, who always were opponents in the past.
Yes.
It really broke down the barriers.
Yes.
He said, unfortunately, sledging has gone out of the game.
Yes. Well, I thought you were going to say the interesting thing was that miking up these characters.
Oh, that's amazing.
I remember, this
is the captain. I couldn't believe it. He's got a concert, all sorts of things, and someone's in his ear asking
questions. They had de Villiers, I think, mic'd up when he was keeping wicket. Keeping wicket? I mean, that is heavy concentration stuff. Excuse me, I've just got to play some cricket. Carry on. It's clever because you couldn't do that with soccer, could you? Because you are absolutely continuously operating.
You could perhaps mic up the referee. And they mic up the umpires in this, which I
find. Well, they do mic the referee in rugby, I think.
Yes.
And it's quite illuminating. I've never forgotten hearing a referee in an international match getting two big, ugly front row forwards, one from Wales and one from England, and saying to them both, and I kid you not, you two are spoiling it for everybody. like a couple of children on the beach. And it was just extraordinary. I couldn't believe it when I heard that. Oh, dear. Yes, because everybody knows the important thing is to have a good game, you know, not to beat England or Wales. You two are spoiling. Dear, oh, dear. But, they continue to innovate. What about technology? Do you think... Do you like this business of Hawkeye and Snicko and all that?
They don't have that.
The IPL, they just had the umpire. The Indians, for some reason, I don't know why, but the Indian cricket world is very opposed, or the Indian players, or Sachin Tendulkar, or whoever it is very opposed to having technology determine whether a guy's out or not. And they insist on just going with the umpire.
I love technology. All forms of technology in the game, I think, are good. Anything that improves the game is good, and makes decisions better is good. Even if this is a delay. And cricket is fantastic because it can be delayed. I think all this stuff about, say, football, in which they are incredibly resistant to, is goal, just garbage.
That goal that England didn't score but did score against Germany probably wouldn't have affected the result. But it was just so pathetic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That they didn't have a system to say, excuse me, but it... went over the line by about a yard.
But my friend Michael Jennings always points out that the problem about Hawkeye is that uses modelling, uses computer code, and no one knows what the code is, and he doesn't like that because that all these sort of secrets are, well, it sounds a bit like climate gate, doesn't it?
Well, it reminds me a bit of the idea of having elections organised by hyper advanced electronic machines. I don't like that. I want it to be done with old bits of paper and boxes and men in glasses counting it by hand and with lots of volunteers, because the more people see it, all the better. And yes, you could imagine a world in which...
By the way, I've seen elections in Canada where it's been marked by a machine, and that was 20 years ago. So,
Canada, yeah.
Oh, obvious dictatorship, yes.
No, obviously not a dictatorship is my point. You know, so tedious that nobody even tries to fix their elections, you know. I'm talking about a serious, tough country. India, for example, where I'm sure if they got half a chance, they would fake their election results. And maybe they fear that those clever but viable computer geeks would fake the results of LBW decisions. Perhaps that's it. I don't know.
Wonderful if there are any more likely. Well, yes, maybe.
But I certainly think the international umpire thing has improved matters. I mean, until recently, they used to have, I mean, Test matches in England would be umpired by English umpires.
Yes.
And then they had this enormous row with
Shaka. Yes.
He and Mike Gatting, the England captain, had a big run-in. And I think after that, they thought, well, we better not have local umpires in Pakistan. And in the only way they could get that was by not having local umpires anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit tough on the old English umpires, because they had nowhere to go, but... Well, they went to all sorts of other countries, but I think it's worked well. You get a sense that the players don't have any major beefs with the umpires now, the way they used to. But I like technology. Most of all, I think that if you're going to have technology with the commentators, and it's hard to see how that could be forbidden, then the umpires should have the same toys.
Yes, absolutely.
And the only question is, maybe you shouldn't expect them to wait 5 minutes to get some answer. If the broadcasters get it after 5 minutes, okay, you can't expect the umpires to wait 5 minutes to get that sort of information. But provided it can be done quickly enough, it's only a matter of when you let them have all these toys rather than if. The principle, it seems to me, is the right.
Well, I wonder this: if the resistance in football actually goes back to its simple size, is that the bigger a sport is, the more arrogant, complacent, and foot dragging the governing body is. It's interesting that cricket has adopted it very early. I suppose it's slightly easier for cricket because there are natural gaps.
No, but you're right. I think cricket isn't as arrogantly run as a whole. I think everybody in cricket has a sense of soccer being bigger,
mm-hmm.
and of cricket having to struggle and, you know, think about itself and how it's presented and so on. And I think it shows. I still think county cricket is pretty dreary. I mean, I went to see a game. I very seldom support the county I'm supposed to be a supporter of, which is Surrey. And I live within a walk of the Oval. But very rarely do I go and watch county matches. I went to see Surrey play Hampshire. And present were Mark Ramprakash, one of the great men of English county cricket, still at his peak. He's now a bit past it, but he was still then clocking out centuries in half his innings every season. And captaining Hampshire, Shane Warne. Now, this was at a time when nobody realised he was going to be playing in the IPL, because it didn't exist. And this was pretty much the last chance I had to see Shane Warne in action. And I turned up, and it was watched by the proverbial dribble of, you know, lots and lots of weird-looking men just like me, with nothing to do, you know, sad obsessives rather than proper human beings.
I mean, I find this astonishing, just simply financially. What is keeping English cricket afloat? Because, I mean, that oval is...
Well, I know, it's an enormous thing, isn't it? I think about once a year they have a really big deal. Also, pop concerts, I think, are quite a big deal. And it's test match money.
Wow.
It doesn't work, does it?
There's slightly bugs for me, and it was something I said right.
Well, this is
right
why the IPL pays more in a month than county cricket pays in a year.
Because
there's people watching it.
Well, I mean there was a 2020 competition in England,
it's watched by about 5,000-8,000 people. That's how many people watch a 2020 county game in England.
That's better than
nothing.
Four-day game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So why are they failing here and succeeding in India?
Because more people in India care about cricket. I heard a very... They had at lunchtime on the radio... One of the problems is that people like me listen to the radio in our hundreds of thousands and even perhaps millions. I don't know what the numbers are, but they're pretty enormous. But we don't turn up. We just have it going on in the background of our lives while we get on with other things at the same time. So I listened to the Test Match special a lot. And one of the things they had recently was a bloke who said he'd gone out to Sri Lanka with some sort of bunch of journalists. It was a touring side. And they were playing against clubs. And they said the crowds there were enormous. You know, sort of literally a couple of thousand people would show up to watch bunch of fat journalists playing cricket, and all these children, all these boys aged 10, sparkly guys, would sort of ask for their autographs and things.
And what was the format were they playing? Presumably a one-day game.
I don't know, 50 overs. I don't know what it was, but it was. The point was that cricket was a big deal in that country, and you see it now. Sri Lanka have a disproportionately good test team even now. I think there's something about sport that it's related to the development of a country. That transition from poverty to wealth involves a moment when people are prepared to treat sport like a matter of life and death, because why? It is a matter of life and death. It's literally the difference between grinding, you know, killing poverty.
Sorry,
it's and wealth.
It's a matter of life and death. I mean, in the sense that it symbolises your...
No, it doesn't just symbolise it. It is a matter of life and death because you make enough money to not starve.
Oh, if you're a professional?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
You know, professional sport is one of the classic routes out of grinding poverty. And therefore, there's a sort of special moment in the history of each country when it does that ascent from poverty to development, during which sport is going to be a huge deal. And blessed is the sport that captures that country at that moment. And cricket has captured a succession of countries.
I'm trying to think if that applies.
Well, the West Indies, of course, is the critical one.
Yeah.
In the 60s and 70s, when they were getting even for having been, you know, colonized. Enslaved, mm-hmm. basically shipped across the Atlantic and dumped down there. And
were the West Indies getting any richer at the time?
Yeah, I think so. Well, they were. Yes, I think so. Oh, yeah, I think so. They were doing the classic development thing.
Oh.
I think so.
I thought they were treading water. I don't know.
I think it happens at the early stages of development because there isn't much else going on. Classically, it happens with boxing, doesn't it? Literally fighting. And it literally is a matter of life and death then.
Hmm.
And people get... In America, in the early part of the 20th century, people got absolutely obsessed with boxing and the World Heavyweight Championship and all that, didn't they? Rocky Marciano and all that. And then it ended up with the Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali type era, and then it all just sort of fizzled away. And I don't think it's only because it became crooked, because I think it had always been crooked. I think, you know, gangsters have always been deep into it. But I think something about America, it just stopped being the answer to the question, what shall I do with my life? And became the answer to the question, what shall I not do with my life and not be beaten up for other people to watch, you know. And I think sport, I think one of the reasons why the Australians are getting less good at sport, which they are,
mm-hmm.
is that they're just getting fat and comfortable.
Well, or maybe there's a blip in the test.
Well, maybe.
There's a few that could be
bad. Yeah, but they've also got less good at tennis and other games, I think.
Yes, I think so. Or maybe other people have taken it up, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a Chinese lady who won the French Open yesterday, and that's almost... I still find that difficult to believe, actually, but I mean, it's happened. Brian, we sort of agreed when we started this that we'd go on for 45 minutes, and we are over 45 minutes. Actually, we said we were going to be half an hour, and we're over 45 minutes, so
I think we should stop
there.
Mm.